Matthew chapter 18, let's look at verse number 11. It says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was, what does it say?
Lost.
Let's pray there and follow, Lord. We thank you for your example here on earth, Lord. And Lord, we pray that as Christians, Lord, I pray for myself personally all the time, Lord. I want to be more like you and follow your example, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would seek the lost like you did, Lord, and try to lead them to you, lead them to Jesus, Lord. And I pray that you just help us as we study these passages of scripture tonight and look further into us how we can do more for you in reaching the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who would you consider the greatest soul winner ever? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the greatest soul winner ever. Amen. So if he's the greatest ever, I think we should follow after his example. What he did. Basketball players all the time, you know, will debate on who's the greatest basketball player of all time, the greatest basketball player of all time. There's no debate. It's Michael Jordan.
Yes.
People have studied his game to find out how did he become so good. Kobe Bryant studied his game so much that when he played, he looked just like Michael Jordan as he played. I pray in a spiritual sense that when we go soul winning, our attitude, our spirit would be like Jesus Christ. We will never be him, but it is our goal to be like him. I had somebody who messaged us on Facebook and who signed up to come and then said, I find this unbelievable that you're trying to lure people to church with food. And I find that very deceiving. And I said, didn't Jesus feed the 5,000? They said, he texts back, but you're not Jesus. I said, you're 100% right, but I sure am trying to be like him. So I'm going to try to do what he's done and get people to church. And he said, well, we don't do that at our church. I said, man, I strongly suggest you don't do it at your church. If that's what you think, don't do it. But we'll keep doing it over at our church. But I'm glad 42 people got saved. 42 people. God's used a lot of things and a lot of people in our world to lead people to Christ. But the only way people are going to be led to Christ is if servants, if laborers are willing to be used. If you and I are ready to be used. God didn't call us just to come to church, sit in a pew, hear his word preached, and do nothing with it. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The point of your life is not just to go to work every day and come home and then come to church, hear some preaching, and that's it. And you go home and you feel good for yourself. Like, I feel like a good person. Our number one goal as a Christian should be to share the gospel. That should be your number one goal. Above everything else. In the short life that you are given, Jesus had 33 years. 33 years. And if there's one thing that could be said about him, is he spread the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. Every opportunity that he had, he was spreading the gospel. He used things all around. Remember the woman at the well? He used the well. He used the water. And he used so many things to share people and to show people how they could know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to see tonight how he was a soul winner. What did he do? Tonight, my message, Jesus, the greatest gospel spreader. Jesus, the greatest gospel spreader. I don't know about you, but when I die, that'd be something that I'd like to be known for. Is spreading the gospel. I don't want to just be known as, oh man, he was a funny guy. He would always tell a joke. Or man, he was fun to be around. Or oh man, yeah, I remember this one time we had a good time doing this. Or we went and did this. I want people to talk about that I reached souls. Brought people to church. That's what I want. That's what God's called us to do. There's many other things on our planet to do. A lot of things. And the world creates more and more fun. You know, is that they create? I mean, there's newer things, new devices all the time. Think of all the toys for adults they come up with for us to go and do. I mean, it's endless. And what do we say? Man, I want to get one of those. Man, I want to get one of those. What is that? You see someone, I mean, the things that people ride on, it is, I mean, it's endless. The batteries, everything that has wheels, there's so many different ways to ride on something with wheels, and it's a hobby. You get into that hobby. And I'm not against hobbies at all. I think you should do a hobby. I'm into hobbies. I think it's good for us to have a balance in our life. But you have to be careful with the things of this world, good things, that pull us and our time and our attention away from spreading the gospel. You see, the devil, believe it or not, can use simple, fun, good things to keep you, make you feel good about yourself, then you're not doing wrong. But he knows he can keep you from spreading the gospel. That's all he cares about. Good. If I can keep them focused on this and make them feel good about themselves at the same time and come to church and not feel guilty, but they're not spreading the gospel because they're so busy doing all these other things, then I've accomplished a lot. I don't want the devil to have that mindset when it comes to my life. I want there to be a constant battle when it comes to my life with the devil. I don't want to make it easy for him. So I want us to look at Jesus tonight and how he was a great soul winner, how he spread the gospel. What are some things that he did? Number one, he got their interest. He got their interest. Nicodemus, Jesus both aroused curiosity and put his finger on Nicodemus' problem all at once. Nicodemus could not see spiritual things because his spiritual eyes had not been opened. And Jesus emphasized that salvation was accepted by faith and not intellectually explained. You know, you see, as a soul winner, there's got to be some excitement to you. When you're giving the gospel, when you're telling someone, okay, a salesman, for instance, okay? There's a salesman. There's one salesman. He's a black guy, and he sells. Anybody ever seen his videos that he sells spraying on shoes, and he cleans your shoes? Anybody ever seen him? He's got all these liners that are just hilarious, but they make you want to buy it. I mean, he just gets your attention with all these lines. I mean, he's one of the greatest salesmen I've ever seen. He literally just sprays this on. He has all these funny lines, and he captures people's attention like nobody in sales that I've seen, and he gets people laughing so much, and they just want to buy it because of how much interest he has drawn them to this product because he's enthusiastic about it, and he's got their interest. As a soul winner, you've got a whole lot more that you're trying to present to somebody than a product. A whole lot more. Do you act like that? Is your focus on that? You say I go soul winning every single week. Okay, that's great. But how are you doing it is the question. How are you accomplishing it? Just going is one part of it. But becoming a better soul, becoming more like Christ is what we're trying to get to. We're not just trying to do it. We're trying to do it like he did it. And he captured their interest. Do you capture their interest when you go soul winning? Well, we can come up with a lot of excuses and blame our personality and blame that we don't know enough and, oh, I can't do that. I'm not like them. I'm not like, we're quick to come up with those. You could write a list of excuses for yourself right now if I asked you to. It takes no work. You don't have to be smart to do it. And it's easy. But it is hard. It's hard to challenge yourself to say, how can I make the gospel exciting? Number one, you need to be excited about it. Yes, sir. Are you excited about it? You're talking about the greatest thing that could ever happen to this person you're about to talk to. You're not just inviting them to church. Number one, most important thing is when you go knock on a door or when you're inviting somebody to church, man, the number one thing is, can I be used of the Lord to present the gospel to this person? Not everybody's going to accept it. It's just not the case. If that was the case, man, everybody would be getting saved left and right. But this world is an evil world and has entered the lives of the people that dwell in this world. And because of that, people's hearts harden towards the gospel. And so because of that, because they're hardened towards it, many Christians get discouraged and don't go. You can say I'm guilty of that one. Guilty of not going because what am I accomplishing? What am I accomplishing? Man, some teen boys went out and just handed out flyers in parking lots. And two separate, one person I didn't even get to meet. Maybe I met them, I'm not sure. There were so many visitors trying to put faces to all the names. It's impossible. But somebody put on there how they found out about the church. And they put a young boy in a parking lot, handed me a tract. And it was not the one that I gave a testimony about from Odin, Indiana. It was somebody else. Two people in a 45-minute span where they just went out and we handed out invitations. I think it was them because they said the parking lot was in Walmart, and that was the part, one of the parking lots that we went to, just by giving out a gospel track. Man, what a testimony to have that everywhere you go, you just give them out. Boy, you go to a restaurant, you're at the cashier, everywhere you are, giving out the gospel. Man, that's a pretty good thing to be said about you. But how are you getting their interest? Jesus wanted to make salvation clear to Nicodemus. You know how you can get someone more interested? Is truly knowing and learning how to present the gospel this way. Learning how to do it. How can I be better at this? How can I get better at this? I mentioned hobbies a minute ago. Usually when people get into hobbies, they never try to get good at that hobby, right? Never. Because, man, the industries of all these hobbies, they offer no better, better ways. Or they don't ever have any better products. Every hobby you get into, what happens? Man, there's this level, and then there's this level, and there's this level. Every hobby, there's endless amounts to spend money, and you can get better at this. You can get faster at this if you spend more. And what do? Man, we research. We want to get better at it. It just drives us to get better at something because we're passionate about it. And we do everything we can to get good at that. And usually when people are into hobbies, they're better at that than the average person who's not into that hobby, correct? Because it's a hobby. Nothing wrong with that. But what about the gospel? What about presenting the gospel? What about presenting the gospel like Jesus did? There's a way to learn. If you read the Bible, if you read what Jesus did and how he presented the gospel to people, it was different with everybody he came in contact with. You realize that? He used things around him. The woman at the well, I mentioned, he used the water and he used the well. You hadn't seen that before. And he used that. He was showing us as Christians, there are so many things. Brother Josh loves to have his class out in the woods because he said, man, there's so many things in nature that I can use when I'm teaching these young men. God's given us so many different ways that we can present the same thing, the same gospel. Jesus knew Nicodemus was very educated, very educated. And that knowledge he puffed him up. He asked the question, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? There's a lot of people that you're going to run into who are very knowledgeable. Today, a man who came to our church on Sunday got a gift card. Him and his wife each got a gift card. One of them worked. One of them apparently had no money on it. And so he called and I said, hey, come on in. We'll get you another one. And so he came today to the church and he just said, yeah, we believe a few different things than you do. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I told the guy that was preaching, I told him about it. He said, oh, okay. I said, really? Okay, like what? He said, well, we don't believe in the Trinity. We don't believe in that. I said, really? So I said, you guys don't follow the Bible, then what do you guys follow? He said, no, we follow the Bible. I said, well, where in Scripture do you get that from? Well, I don't know for sure. He said, we just don't believe that there's three separate roles, the Holy Spirit, the Father, we don't believe in all that. We just believe it's one. And I said, okay. I said, are you a father? He said, yeah. Are you a son? He said, yeah. I said, are you a husband? He said, yeah, man. Are you all those roles? He said, but you're one, right? You're one? He said, yeah. I said, well, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one, but he plays three separate roles in your life. And I said, you're getting taught false doctrine in your life. I don't know where you're getting that. You can't even show me in the Bible where you're getting this from. Well, you need to come talk to my pastor. You go to some church. And I said, well, no, what do you believe? Do you just believe what another man teaches you? Or do you believe the Bible? I asked you, do you believe the Bible? And you said, yes. You can't. You wanted to bring up a topic that was different. Why is it different? We follow the Bible, I said. He said, well, we also believe in tongues. I said, really? You don't believe in tongues? I said, absolutely not. He said, why don't you believe in tongues? I said, well, for one, it's not biblical. And I said, it's absolute chaos. And he said, no, it's not. He said, the Bible talks about unknown tongues. I said, really? Then how do you know them? Right. And I said, do you know what the Bible was talking about when it said unknown tongues? And he said, well, it was talking about a tongue that the Lord gives you to speak to people, and it's a tongue that not everybody has. I said, and he said, I speak in tongues. I said, really? And I said, well, where in the Bible? I can't remember where in the Bible. I said, well, I'll show you where you're getting that from the Bible. So I opened up my Bible and showed him, and I said, the Bible here, let's read the whole passage, not just one verse. Let's Start from the top where it starts talking about this. I said it talks about when Jesus died and all the apostles wanted to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay? So he told them to do. If I was going to all the world and preach the gospel and I'm going over to Russia and I don't know the language there, how am I going to give them the gospel? Well, I've got to learn it. And it's going to take me a long time. God didn't want it to take a long time. God wanted the gospel to be spread right away. And so he gave these men a supernatural ability that when they got there, they were able to spread the gospel in their language, just like it says. We read the whole thing. And he said, I said, no. He said, my pastor can show you. I said, no, I'm showing you the Bible. This is what the Bible says. That should matter, right? I said, do you believe the Bible? He said, yeah. I said, well, if I show you something from the Bible clearly shows you the people were amazed that these men could come to them and preach to them. And it says in their own language. It shows you right there in the passage that when the Bible's talking about tongues, it's talking about languages. I said, here, let's look up. I'll show you. I said, if you believe the Greek, let's see what it means in Greek. We went through the whole Greek, showed him the original tongue with the language, what it was talking about. And it talks about languages. He said, you need to talk to my pastor. I said, I don't need to talk to your pastor, man. You need to talk to your Bible. You need to talk to God. And I said, somebody has taught you something false. I said, do you think the devil has been a part of teaching false doctrine in this world? He said, I don't know, maybe. I said, maybe. I'm like, maybe? You don't think the devil's been a part of that? I said, the last thing the devil wants us to do is follow the Bible. So he'll create things. God's already created. He'll create things that look like the Bible, that look like the doctrines that we're supposed to believe, and he'll change them. Happens all over the time, all over the place. And I said, I don't like saying this. I'm not trying to be mean, but you have been duped. You've been given a false doctrine. I clearly showed you from Scripture. I said, I went and showed him some more Scripture to back it up. And I said, he said his son rides on the bus occasionally comes here. And I said, I'm not trying to hate you. I'm not trying to hate your pastor or whoever he is, but I hate the false doctrine. I hate that because it goes against what God has said. And I said, you come to our church. I said, we just preach the gospel. We preach the truth. If it's from the Bible, that's what we preach. I said, if my preacher started preaching things that went contrary to the Bible, guess what? I wouldn't be a part of the church anymore because I believe the Bible and I trust God and I trust my Bible. I don't just trust whatever man says. I said, you need to start reading the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures to show thyself approved unto God. And he just said, okay, all right, well, his mind was just spinning. But I thought about the gospel and how the gospel has been changed. Now there's false doctrines all over around us, and people think they're going to heaven because of false doctrines. We have the gospel. We don't have a false doctrine. We have the truth. Why are we not sharing it enough? Why are we not telling enough people about the gospel and showing interest in it so that other people can be excited about getting saved? The Bible says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He's talking to Nicodemus. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Number two, he got them lost and helped them lose their pride. He got them lost and helped them lose their pride. The woman at the well. Jesus felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to go into Samaria to witness to one person. And Jesus went to a public place, a well. God often puts people in our path. Yes. It's amazing sometimes the people that get put in our path. That man at the young boys, I'm not sure which one of them gave, he is from Odin, at a McDonald's, walking out of his car. I thought about it later. Walking out of his car to get into his vehicle. 30 seconds, he would have been gone. 30 seconds, he would have been gone. And God placed that man walking out of his car right there when the boys were handing him and his family all came to church. And he said he was looking for an independent Baptist church like the one that he had when he lived in Florida. There's divine appointments all around us that God gives you. That God gives you if you're available. How many of them do you walk away from that you never even knew because you weren't paying attention? You weren't ready to give the gospel. I wasn't ready to give the gospel. I was busy doing something else. It's amazing how busy our life can be because we allow it to be. We allow it to control our day-to-day walk. Oh, we give our morning to the Lord. We pray and we do what we're supposed to do. But God said, I want you to spread the gospel. Give the gospel out. You only have a short time on earth. Boy, we don't have hundreds of years anymore like they had in the early Bible days. We don't have those that time. And I'm, praise the Lord, if I can get to 75, if I can get to 40. Charlie Kirk just died the other day at 31 years old. What can be said of that man? He spread the gospel. He said before he died, he said, if there's one thing that I want to be known for, is I want to be known for my faith. I want to be known for my faith. He's known for a whole lot more, but if there's one thing that can be said about that man, is that he was not afraid to spread the gospel to anybody. Yes. Anybody. He went to places and faced people that you and you have never faced. Right. Wicked people with wicked beliefs that hate God, yep. Hate church, hate Christians, yes. Hate what we believe, and publicly went before them to go and spread the gospel. To tell them about what the Bible says. Not afraid. Most Christians are afraid to go into a debate like that. Man, I hope that's me someday when I die, that I could be known for giving the gospel everywhere I went. Not for anything else. At my funeral, I want people to give testimonies of soul winning. 42 people came to church, got to be a part of that. Aren't you glad? You got to be a part of that? Didn't miss that. Man, I was talking to Max today. He obviously wanted to know all about it. He said, I am not missing that next year. I don't care how many demerits I got to get. He said, I'm making sure I go to it next year. I said, well, maybe you're not going to have to take off some days to come to a wedding, you know, before it or something, you know. But I was neat because, man, he just missed out on something great that happened to his church. And he wanted to be a part of it. I'm thankful for opportunities we have at our church, but there's a lot more opportunities outside of this place. Yes. That are all around us. Right. Woman at the well. Jesus is putting people around you like the woman at the well who are wicked, who are not doing good, who are living in sin. God's putting them around you. What are you doing with it? I got to talk to Ryan Decker this morning. Got to talk to him. Praise the Lord for this. He got to lead, I think Saturday will be 60 days that he's clean from drugs, alcohol. And today, Brother Jeff, or was that yesterday? Yesterday, he got to lead his mom to the Lord. You should have heard him on the phone. It sounded like he was on a trampoline just jumping up and going crazy. I mean, hyperventilating. Like he was just, I haven't known him for very long. But I mean, he was so excited. Like he told me it was the greatest outside of the day he got saved. He said that was the greatest day of his life to be able to share the gospel with his mom and her get saved. The transformation that's happening in that man's life is unbelievable right now. So exciting. So exciting. Pray for him. Pray for that. But what God's doing in his life, I told him, I said, Ryan, like, look what God's doing in the short amount of time that you turned your life around, and what God's already, I mean, he named all these doors. He's got a management position now that opened up that they're asking him to take there at his job. And all the different things, he's talking to me all the time, of all these things that are going on in his life, that God is using him, and now God just used him to lead his mom to the Lord. He asked Pastor Reiser when they get their new building built down there, he said, they're planning on getting their bus route going and stuff now that they'll be able to have more kids in the church services and stuff. And he said, I don't care how, but he said, I would love to be used in the ministry that won me and got me in church and got me saved. He said, I don't care what you want me to do. If I just need to hold a trash can and walk around and collect trash from the kids, if I could just be on the bus in some way, please, could I just be used? And of course, Brother Reiser said, absolutely, man. Man, I love that spirit. Love that spirit. You know what I'm thankful for is someone in our church named Brother Jared who decided to help him from day one and be there for him. There's people all around here like that. They're going through stuff. This needs someone from our church to show them they care. They care. I'm glad that when people came to church on Sunday, they felt like I could see it in their faces that we cared. Felt like we cared. I had a few ladies say stuff to me and some other ladies and some other men came up and told me a few things, but they were so impressed of the younger people serving the elderly and the senior saints. not older people saying that. It was people my age, maybe in the 40s and 50s and 30s, that were saying, this is incredible. This is so amazing seeing the younger generation serve the older generation. What you guys are doing is incredible. Like, can't believe you guys. One lady asked me, how much do you think this costs? And I said, we don't know yet. We didn't know how many were going to show up. But I said, I know it costs us thousands of dollars to do this. And she said, I have never seen a church, and she was an older lady. She said, I've never seen a church in my life. I've never heard of a church in my life doing anything close to this. She's like, this is unbelievable. Y'all are spoiling us. I said, praise the Lord. But I hope that that testimony gets them back in church. I hope that testimony helps those people soften their heart towards the gospel. That's the purpose for it. The purpose was not just to fill their bellies. The purpose was to show them, hey, we're trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to love people, show them that we care. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them that they'll come back to church. Many of them that came, I don't know hardly any of them. I mean, like Pastor said, when he got up here, he felt like he was preaching to a different church, because I think we maybe had 15 of our own people in the church service in here because it was so packed out. And we had everyone just, you go over there, find a place to serve. You go over there, see if the nursery needs help, see if the parking needs help. It was sending people everywhere. But some of those people are hurting. They're struggling. Charlie Kirk has caused a lot of people, atheists, to want to come to church. I believe that paid a part. Praise the Lord. We were having a day. Come to ours. Come to ours. And they came to church because they're going through something. They saw a man give his life for the gospel. Give his life for the gospel. I pray that we would do everything we can to have that example in our life. Now, I don't agree with everything that Charlie Kirk believes in. Not everything, but a lot of the things. Most of the things. I believe that everything he taught on the gospel, there's a lot of things that he believes from the Bible that we believe. And I'm thankful for his testimony. He has challenged me as a Christian to do more for him. He hasn't challenged you. Maybe you say, I don't really know much about Charlie Kirk. Look him up. Look him up online. Watch some of his videos and the things that that man courageously has done to inspire the world. You look at online, millions of people in London on the streets marching, saying Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, in remembrance of Charlie Kirk. I mean, that's happened all over the world. People are marching the streets, remembering him and what he stood for in his life. There's videos of people showing what he did for them. He never met them. They never met him. But they said, just listening to him talk about his Lord, talk about his relationship with his wife and his family and his biblical beliefs and how it made so much sense. I've seen people show pictures of what they looked like before they heard of Charlie Kirk and what he stood for, and just earrings all over their lips and their noses, and just, you know, colored hair and short women with short hair and just looking like a mess. And then they show after I heard of Charlie Kirk. A lady with a dress on and three children, it looked like they're going to church with her husband, like, did not even look like, I mean, many of those. I mean, have you seen those pictures before? Unbelievable. But it's because somebody decided to be bold. The man had many, many death threats. Have you? Have I? I've never had anyone give me a death threat. I've maybe had someone cuss at me before. That man had someone cuss at him every single day of his life. I just pray that us as Christians would try to be like Jesus and try to have the example that he set for us in his short time. Many of us in this room have already lived longer than Jesus lived and haven't accomplished a fraction of what he did when it comes to soul winning. I'm trying to challenge you because we saw a miracle here on Sunday. In spite of us, in spite of who I am, in spite of who you are, God did a miracle. Seeing people come up the ramp, I mean, we had a lot of people out there greeting, and we couldn't keep up with them. Brother Morris, right? I mean, they were slipping past one, slipping past another. It was a blessing. Thank you for those of you that were out there greeting people. It was unbelievable watching some of you serve the Lord and be used of God to make people feel welcome here at church. It blessed my heart. Where love is felt, the message is heard. Where love is felt, the message is heard. I believe people felt love here at Blessed Hill Baptist Church. I believe this coming Sunday, from what I'm hearing, I believe we have a lot of people here in church this coming Sunday. I believe our nation now is going through something I've never seen in my lifetime. Never seen. People are wanting to come to church. How will you spend this time right now? Right now. Not in a year from now. The harvest is riper right now than I personally have ever seen in my life. Than you personally have ever seen in your life. Doesn't matter how old you are. What's going on in the world right now is unbelievable. We have the whole truth. We have the whole truth. It's all right here. We have more beyond the gospel. After people get saved, we can show them how Jesus said for people to live their life purely. We have it all. Are we going to share it? Will we share the gospel before Sunday with anybody? Say, boy, Brother Nichols, you're being pretty harsh. I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. If you're not stirred up from this week, I don't know whatever will stir you up. Someone was martyred. Martyred. For the gospel.
Yes, sir.
In America.
Yes.
That's weird for us to say.
Yes,
that doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. This shouldn't just go by and it not be used in our personal lives.
Yes.
Somebody who was unafraid to share the gospel was killed for it because someone hated them. There's a bunch of people here in the Bible that happened to. You read about the apostles, the disciples, great men of God who stood up, tortured, were killed for doing something great. Are you afraid of that? I don't think we're really facing that. I don't think we're facing what Charlie Kirk was facing. I don't think we're facing what the apostles faced. I don't think we're facing what Jesus. We have a free nation. We haven't seen someone get martyred like that in a long time in America.
Yes.
He showed them, number three, he showed them he cared about them. He showed them he cared about them. Remember Zacchaeus? Remember Zacchaeus? Remember he called his name? Remember he called him by his name? How many like it when someone remembers your name? Man, can you imagine Jesus calling you by name? Seeing you in a tree? Maybe a little embarrassed. Oh, man. Just wanted to see you. Didn't have to call me out like that. But he remembered his name. Showed him. It's amazing how much that resonates with somebody when you remember their name. I told my daughters, Jalen really wanted this lady to be her guest. Some of you already forgot her name. Her name was Kayla. I told her, I said, don't forget her name. I said, you want to know how you won't forget her name? How? I said, pray for her. Pray for her every chance you can, every time you pray. I mean, every single night for sure. But I said, every chance you get, pray and ask the Lord for Kayla to come to church. So when she comes to church, you're saying, you don't have to say, oh, you were the lady at Cracker Barrel. No, that's Kayla from Cracker Barrel. I said, okay, Dad. So every night when I've prayed with them, didn't have to remind her or Jessa. They both remembered. Lord, please help Kayla to come to church. What are you teaching your kids? I'm not telling you that story because of me. I thank God for Brother Jared for challenging my daughter, both my daughters, to give out the gospel, to give out a tract. Because of that, I believe the lady might come to church with her kids. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Now is the time. When we go soul winning, are we soul winning, or are we giving out the gospel like now is the time? We don't know when the Lord's coming, but it sure is looking closer and closer all the time. I mean, it's amazing the things that are happening, that you read the Bible, that are going into place all around the world. It just is setting up for Jesus coming soon. You don't know how much time you have left. You don't know how much life you have left. You don't know if the Lord's going to come back soon. There's a lot of things that you don't know. We don't know if tomorrow holds. But will you give out the gospel as much as you can? How about this, number four, and lastly, he finished the job. He finished the job. In John 9, the story is given of a blind man brought to Jesus by the Pharisees, they being very judgmental. You remember that? and asked Jesus if being blind was the man's fault or his parents' fault. Of course, Jesus told him it was neither one of their faults. But he was healed. And people questioned him when he received his sight. He told them that Jesus had healed him. The Pharisees didn't believe it. And they summoned his parents to question him. Then they questioned the blind man again. He replied, this is what he said. If you want to go there, go to real quick to John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9, verse number 25. This is what he said. It said, verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind and now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he to thee? He opened he thine eyes. He answered, then I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Man, a man was blind, and all of a sudden he can see, and it still didn't work for them. But Jesus finished the job. Jesus hunted and found the healed man. See, Jesus didn't come to earth just to heal people. That was not the only reason he came to the earth. His eyes had been healed, but not his soul. Jesus, the Bible says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And then you see in verse 38, I believe, and he worshiped him. He finished the job. You see, we're not just trying to only invite people to church. We want to give them the gospel. We preach. There's a reason why Pastor wrote lessons for everywhere across the property. Gospel, 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 gospel. There's a reason why 42 people got saved. Why? Because the gospel was given. The gospel was given. Our job is not just to sit in a pew. Our job is not just to get people to come sit in the pew. Our job is to finish the job and get the gospel to them. Make sure they hear. Not everybody will accept it. And it's not your job for them to accept it. Your job is to give the gospel. My job is to give the gospel. I want to read a few things. I had a few other things I wanted to say, but don't have time to get to all of it. But I want to say this in regards to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was murdered for having beliefs and speaking about them. That statement alone feels foreign for us as Americans to say. Here's some quotes of Charlie Kirk. When we stop talking to each other and arguing our differences, that's when people turn to violence, and I'm trying to prevent that. When asked how Charlie would want to be remembered if he died, he said, I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. The most important thing in my life is my faith. He said this, stop being a boy and become a man. If you want to know what that means, come to church. He said, Jesus defeated death so you can live. Jesus is enough. You are not enough. More people should get married young and have more kids than they can afford. Doesn't that go contrary to everything that's taught? Come on, brother. The happiest women in America are married with children. Having children is way more important than having a good career. When the years pass and cultures, my brother-in-law wrote this. He's got a devotional he sends out. He said, when the years pass and cultures and empires continue to shift, our legacy will be cemented. If there's one thing that moments like this should bring to our attention, it is the same question that was asked to Charlie Kirk. How will you want to be remembered? Be remembered for speaking much of the gospel to anyone that will listen and compel them to hear the truth. Be remembered for your love and integrity towards your family. Be remembered as a faithful member of the body of Christ, no matter where you work, where your work takes you. Be remembered for doing all that you can to fight evil and to be bold and courageous for Jesus as he was bold for you. Be remembered for giving your life for others. Charlie Kirk said this, good men must die, but death can't kill their names. He said, all that death can do to the believer is deliver him to Jesus. What a line. All death can do to the believer is deliver him to Jesus. That tells you everything you need to know about the man. What is our mindset? Tomorrow. What's it going to be? I have not allowed what's gone on in America, in the world, with this event to not affect me. I've tried to live my life for the Lord as best as I can. But what I've noticed by looking at my life over the last week, all my life was busy over the last week when this all went on. But I took time to stop many times and pray and ask the Lord to do a revival in my life. Lord, I want to do more for you than I've done before. I want to give out the gospel way more than I have in the past. Lord, please use me. Lord, I've been given more truth than Charlie Kirk was ever given growing up. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Many of us in this room have grown up with this thing right next to our beds. But what have we done with it? How much have we given this out to people? How much have we shared with people? Begging you as Christians, as fellow believers, as other members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let's stir up revival in our community. Let's be passionate about it. Let's show people with our life and with our example that we have what God gave us. We have the truth. We have the answers. We have everything we need. Let's show people that. When people are around us, they should see something different about us. We shouldn't just blend in with everyone else. There should be something different. When they came to our church at Blessed Hope, they felt something different. Because this is church, and because we acted the way that Jesus wanted us to act here at church. But when we leave church, doesn't mean in our church there at Regency, when I was growing up, it said, you are now entering the mission field. That's the mission field out there. That's where the lost are at. This is where the choir is at. This is where people tonight have been coming to church for a long time. Let God stir up revival in your life. Be willing to be used of him in ways that you've not been used before. I'm begging you to allow God to do something great in your life because he's doing it in many others right now. I would be ashamed of myself if I didn't get stirred up. Atheists are getting stirred up. They're turning to Christ. Will you allow your life to be used greater the rest of your life from here on out, however long it is, from here forward in greater ways than it's been used in your previous life? I hope it is. That's my challenge to myself, and it's my challenge to you tonight. Jesus, the greatest gospel spreader ever. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you so much for scripture, Lord. But Lord, we thank you for using us, Lord, as tools to be used of you in this wicked, wicked world, Lord. You've given us the answers, Lord. You've given us the gospel. All you've asked of us, Lord, is just to spread it. Give it out, Lord, to everybody we can. Lord, I pray that we'd be like those apostles that when they saw Jesus, they saw him get martyred for the faith, Lord. They saw him alive. Lord, they decided they're going to do greater things for the Lord at that moment than when they were with Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would have that mindset, Lord. We don't know how much time we have left, Lord, but I pray that, Lord, here in Jasonville, in this surrounding community here, Lord, I pray that everywhere we go, Lord, that when we go soul winning on Saturday, Lord, I pray that the soul winning is actually soul winning, Lord. I pray that it's actually giving the gospel. I pray, Lord, that no matter how many times a person's heard us give them the gospel and they rejected it, I pray that we would give it to them again and give it to them again until, Lord, you soften their heart, until you break their heart. Because, Lord, right now I believe you're using what's going on, Lord, to soften people towards the gospel, soften people towards you and towards the Bible and towards church, Lord. And I pray that in this moment, in this time, no later time, but right now, Lord, I pray that we would allow ourselves to give more time to you in ways that we didn't give you before. As the piano begins to play, let's all stand together.